You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to another episode of How To 20-Something. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about your cravings and why they aren't such a bad thing to have. And this was also a topic that was brought up by one of you from many, many months ago. Like, I think she reached out to me when this podcast first got started and asked if I could make an episode about why she can go the whole day eating super clean and then at night or by dinner time, it all goes out the window. And I was able to briefly answer her question through Instagram DMs, but I also know that she is not alone in that experience. In fact, I feel like social media makes memes about it every other day of breakfast, eggs, lunch, salad with chicken on top, dinner, burger with fries and a milkshake to drink it all down. So I'm going to enlighten you about what's happening when your body is aggressively nudging you to indulge, why it's happening, and how to try your best to prevent this from being a regular occurrence in your never-ending health journey. I probably don't need to define what a craving is, as I'm sure if I just mentioned the word craving, you would immediately picture what relates the most to you. But in general, a craving is an intense desire for specific foods, drinks, or substances that usually help provide an immediate sense of gratification or pleasure. Cravings surface for a variety of reasons, from an emotion or stressful event or hormones or lack of a nutrient your body needs or even just a simple exposure to a certain sight or smell. I live near a donut factory, and more mornings than not, I can walk outside and have my nostrils filled with the most amazing smell of fresh fried dough, and it instantly makes me wish I could have a donut, but donuts hurt my stomach, and if they aren't the vegan kind, then I'm allergic to the dairy that's inside of them, so I can resist pretty easily. Donuts have hurt my stomach since going on a pretty extreme diet when I was 20, and it took me a long time to learn the lesson of the donut is not worth the stomach ache. It's why I tell my clients it's okay that you gave into your mental discipline, but remember the feeling afterwards, the guilt, the stomach ache, the gross feeling in your body, because when you keep reminding yourself of all the bad that comes with the 60 seconds of good, then those indulges no longer become worth it. But again, it takes a lot of learning to get to that point, but you do get there eventually. And actually, funny enough, as I'm planning out this episode, I had a session with one of my clients about the biggest thing she struggles with is her sweet tooth craving. Cravings are typically centered around high sugar, fat, or salt, and then from a substance frame of reference like nicotine or alcohol. This specific client's cravings were sweet, and the convenient location of Dunkin' Donuts on her drive to work is very hard to resist. She said it's mainly when she's had a stressful morning or knows she's about to have a stressful day ahead, and she wants to treat herself in the form of a sweet treat. So she'll go get a coffee and a donut to go with it. Now, when you're on a weight loss and health journey, giving in to that craving right away and every time is detrimental to your progress. And depending on how you're approaching your weight loss journey, you might actually be setting yourself up for failure in terms of increasing your cravings through deprivation. So we got to have a conversation about how to give yourself space between your cravings and impulsive decisions, and that's part of what I plan on talking to you about today over the course of this episode. Now, as I said, cravings can show up for multiple different reasons, but at the end of the day, I think the reason for cravings fall into two different categories. It's either your body's way of communicating to you that it needs something from a nutrient perspective, or it's a coping mechanism. For this particular client, her sweet tooth craving was a coping mechanism. So by creating space between her and her tactics for self-soothing from whatever experience she's having in that moment, we're able to redirect her coping mechanism towards something that is more helpful for her goals and not veer her off track every time. With this client, we talked about how she just made protein Greek yogurt muffins for her son and had some and thought they were delicious. Another option would be to get a munchkin instead of an entire donut, so you're making a better swap when you're in the drive-thru line at Dunkin' Donuts. And we talked about creating space, which is the most useful way to squash a craving. This comes in the form of either tell yourself to get through the workday first, and if at the end of the day you still want your donut, you can get it on the way home. Or in that moment, go for a walk, get some water, and if you're still craving something, then go eat it. Now, I specifically told her it's not that you can never have a donut again. It's that we want better choices to enter the chat. Because when you tell yourself you can't have something, all you're going to do is think about the thing you can't have, which is why depriving yourself of something only increases your likelihood of failure because you will break. You will give in. And not to mention that it brings up this restrict and binge mentality of restrict, 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 telling yourself, nope, can't have it, and then your mental discipline wears out and you give in and overindulge and you feel guilty. It's like your brain hyperfixates on it because you told yourself no and your inner child wants to rebel. I brought this up in an episode not too long ago when talking about where people typically get tripped up on their fat loss journey. So I'm bringing it up again because this is also where cravings come into play. Your mental discipline is a funny thing because it goes hand in hand with your ability to make clear and strong decisions. You reach a point in your day where you are tired of making decisions. It's really a thing. It's called decision fatigue. So instead of making the mentally tougher decision, you're going to make the easier one. It's something we all do. Everything you do from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep requires you to make a decision. So when that afternoon slump comes and you're exhausted from the day you've already had and your sweet cravings creep in, it's a lot harder to decide to go for a walk or get some water or save it for later, and it's much easier to respond to that craving and get yourself a sweet treat in that moment. Discipline works in the same way because your mental discipline is your decision to refrain from an old habit, and habits are tough things to break. But when you know where this craving is coming from, you can start to minimize its appearance or your weakness to it. Remember how I said your cravings primarily originate for two reasons? It's your body needs something from you or you're self-soothing, and it's gonna flip-flop depending on what's going on in your life. Well, we're going to dive into why your cravings are probably surfacing so you can start to listen to them as a message and not take them for what they are by giving in to what you want in that exact moment. My fun fact for you is if you're a female who's listening and you crave chocolate when you're close to getting your period or while on your period, that actually means you're low in magnesium. Dark chocolate has good magnesium content, so your brain is telling you, hey, I'm low in magnesium and I need some right now, and that right now appears in the form of craving dark chocolate. And I said this one on an earlier episode, but almost the entire population, the human population, is low in magnesium and should be supplementing with at least 250 milligrams. And there are no negative side effects to taking magnesium even if you aren't low. Just make sure you're taking the brain and sleep kind, which I believe is magnesium glycinate and not magnesium citrate, as that one will act as a laxative. And actually, because you're improving your sleep by taking magnesium, you'll experience less cravings that surface due to poor sleep. Your body is searching for high-calorie, high-carb foods for an energy boost to offset its fatigue from poor sleep. You see how everything always comes back to the importance of sleep? Now, I'll be doing an episode all about supplements in the very near future, but for now, stick with magnesium. Similarly to having poor sleep, your afternoon slump and wanting for something sweet is actually your body telling you that you haven't moved enough that day. So it's communicating to you to get something sweet that gives you that sugar rush or splurge of energy that would otherwise come from movement, and then hopefully entice you to move your body because you're a little jittery from the sugar. Most of you listening have a desk job, and we live in a world where we sit for most of the day. So you have to be more mindful on getting your movement, both in the form of going to the gym and working out, but also by getting up and walking around throughout the day. Your 45-minute fitness class does not consider you to be an active person if you're sitting for the entire rest of the day. That's basically 1 hour. We'll round up. It's 1 hour in a 24-hour day. So what are you doing the rest of those 23 other hours? And it's been a minute since I brought this up, but when I had my corporate job, I would have my coworkers and I go for walking breaks 3 to 5 times a day. It was walk o'clock. And it was just a little 7 to 10 minute walk around a nearby pond to get some blood flowing and to not stare at a computer screen for 8.5 hours straight and to get some sunlight into our skin and to our brains. And even the job I had before that made me take a 30-minute lunch break every day. So during that time, I would go for a 25 to 30-minute walk and then eat my lunch while I was working. Your body craves movement. It's not meant to be sedentary for that long, which is why your brain is itching for you to reach for something sugary to give you that boost to get you moving. If you're dehydrated, then your body is going to tell you to eat something salty. Why? So you can reach for some water afterwards. This is also the case if you're working out a lot or sweating a lot as we approach summer months. You're going to crave salty foods because your body wants to be able to hold on to any amount of water you're going to give it after consuming the salt. It allows your blood vessels to open up and grab the water to hold on to it so it doesn't just flow right through you. And finally, where this topic of this episode surfaced, if you're not eating enough nutrients, just not eating enough in general, your body is going to tell you it really needs food by the end of the day. And that's where your, I don't understand how I can be so good during the day, but by nighttime it all goes out the window, feeling comes from. You're so focused on eating foods that you've deemed as good, but not necessarily the content of those whole foods, that you're accidentally starving your body or depriving it of a lot of nutrients it needs, or you've accidentally cut your calories too much and your body is freaking out that it's starving. This is where eating your body weight in grams of protein becomes super beneficial to your overall health and then with your weight loss and fat loss journey and, of course, your cravings. If you are not actively tracking your protein and you're not a gym fiend who knows how to hit their protein intake through mostly whole foods, so not bars and shakes, then you're under-eating protein. 100% guaranteed. I know this because even though it's all over the internet, even though every guest I've brought on in the last few episodes has brought up eating protein, even though I mention it all the time, every nutrition client I work with is severely under eating protein. I was even on the phone with my mom one time while I was meal prepping, and I had to measure out my ingredients, and I made a comment that, oh wow, this meal has 34 grams of protein in each serving, which is great. And my mom responded with, 34? That's what I eat an entire day. And I yelled at her because that is not enough, especially as you age. Protein keeps you full, regulates your blood sugar levels, and helps you build muscle, all of which help minimize your cravings. So don't be like Pam. Eat your body weight in grams of protein. All of my clients are shocked that when we go to increase their protein intake, they, one, can't believe how hard it is to hit those goals because they get so full, and two, they realize they don't have crazy cravings all the time anymore. Like, wild how that works. Not to mention the healthy fat content from your protein sources are also really important when it comes to just properly feeding your body. Our bodies are smart. They're going to tell us exactly what we need. We just need to learn how to listen to it properly and not go for the easiest fix of reaching for that donut. Some of these causes for cravings have easy fixes, like get good, adequate sleep, eat full meals throughout the day, no more girl dinners, keep yourself hydrated, move your body, don't go too long without eating, and plan ahead. Know when you're going to eat and what you'll be eating so you don't let your cravings take over simply because you're too hungry. The second part of where your cravings come from is your coping mechanisms and habits. This one is dangerous and it's confusing, but it's so common. I remember growing up, I had a neighbor who was a bit heavier and her parents would give her food to shut her up. In high school, she went to fat camp, and I'm not kidding, that's what it's called, and had to unlearn the habit of using food as a coping mechanism, as that was her parents' coping mechanism instilled into her. Instead of giving their child 5 minutes of their attention, they shut her up with food. Then the media, whether it's TV or movies or other people's conversations or the way you grew up, highlights that this junk food or alcohol can help you unwind from a stressful day or an emotional moment, and it's a common thing to do. It's normal, but Again, just because it's normal doesn't mean it's good. While yes, sometimes it is okay to indulge or even reward yourself with some junk food and wine and a sweet treat, it should not be an every time you had a rough moment occurrence. Life is always going to be stressful. Shitty moments are going to come and go, and some shitty moments last longer than others. So you better learn now how to cope in a healthier way that isn't centered around food or substances. Last year, I had 6 months straight of feeling emotional and shitty and depressed, and if I had the coping mechanism of eat or drink my feelings, then I would be severely overweight right now. Luckily, I practice what I preach and knew that the best way to get out of the slump was to continue to take care of myself, which meant eat healthy, get sunlight, sleep, and move my body. But if you keep using your life circumstances as an excuse to indulge, then you're not going to get anywhere with your health goals. So I want you to really think about your life, your habits, your coping mechanisms, and identify how you choose to self-soothe, to make yourself feel better, to numb or mask what you're currently feeling or going through, and now come up with a different tactic that is actually beneficial to your health. I mentioned this in the alcohol episode the other week, that this is where your nourishment menu comes in handy. You need to come up with your own list of forward-thinking activities that you can do that still serves you in a way your indulgence would. To reiterate what I said at the beginning of this episode, your cravings aren't a bad thing. They're there to help you and are telling you that something in your life needs to be nourished, whether it's your actual body needing a nutrient or movement or attention from a loved one or a job you hate going to, so at the end of the day, every day, you need to open a cold one to relax because Leslie from HR was up your butt again. Think of your cravings as a signal that something needs to be changed. Not that you're weak or lack discipline. Your craving is telling you something is up, and it's time to take notice. The challenging part is that the craving surfaces in the form of a poor habit you've already established. So it's on you to start to recognize that and ask yourself, what could this craving also mean? In the coaching world, we love helping you change your frame from a place of judgment and ridicule to a place of curiosity. That curious nature opens the conversation and thought processes to think about what else could be possible. So come from a curious mind rather than a berating one the next time your craving surfaces. The final tip I want to leave you with to help you with your late night cravings more than anything is to stop buying it at the store. Or if you do buy it at the store, make sure it's a single serving and not an amount to feed a family of four when you live alone. Basically, don't bring your impulse buy home with you. Which also means don't buy a family pack and eat it all in the car in one sitting, so you don't bring it home with you. Buy the single serving. I'm not saying you can never have it, but it's much easier to not give in to your craving when it's sitting on a shelf in the store and not on a shelf in your pantry. If you get to a point in the evening when all you can do is think about your craving and no amount of healthy coping mechanism can satisfy you, then yeah, put on some shoes and go to the store and again, buy one serving. Because what happens more times than not is it's not worth it to get dressed and drive to the store and get out and make the purchase. Instead, what you'll do is find ways to satisfy your craving with healthier options you already have at home. And I know I've mentioned this as an example in an earlier episode. We're talking one of the first five that I released. Now, I'm not perfect. I have my cravings just like the next person, and I, for one, love chocolate. I'm dairy-free, and Trader Joe's has the most affordable and best-tasting dark chocolate chips, but my rule is that once those go, I need to wait until I need multiple things from Trader Joe's to then go rebuy the chocolate chips. And what happens is my dessert becomes a rice cake with peanut butter and jelly, and my mid-afternoon sweet tooth turns into toast with honey. These are better options that still satisfy my sweet tooth in a way that I need because I don't have the chocolate chips anymore. But when those chocolate chips are within arm's reach and five steps away from me at all times, then you bet your ass I'm going to choose that over a rice cake with peanut butter. I also notice that after a week of no chocolate chips, I stop thinking about them as much, as in I don't desire them because I've redirected my attention to other sweetish things. And it's not within arm's reach. It's a whole drive to the store with a hectic parking lot no matter what day or time you go away. So, to reiterate how you can best mitigate your cravings, it's with solid sleep. It's with hitting your protein goals. It's with moving your body throughout the day and not just in your 45-minute fitness class. It is staying hydrated, and it is planning your food out ahead of time so you don't go too long without eating. Isn't it funny that that's also the recipe to living a healthy and sustainable lifestyle? But let this episode help you welcome your cravings with open arms so you can start to put on your scientific cap and hypothesize the reason for this craving and a new option for how you can best support yourself in that moment. Find out what your cravings really mean. And you know that if this is something you really struggle with, that I am always one call or one email away, both of which are always in the show notes for you to access. Oh, and thank you, Jade, for recommending this as an episode topic almost a year ago. Sorry it took so long, but hopefully this helps you and everyone else listening better understand what's really going on. Lastly, if you liked what you heard, learned something new, know someone with a terrible craving that surfaces more days than not, then please share this episode. I know my ex would have a horrible craving every night of Ben and Jerry's and would eat the entire pint. Don't even get me started on that. So hopefully he's listening to this. But again, thank you for listening to another episode of How To 20-Something. I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new one.